The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Commentary from the Edge. I'm your host, Albert Lewis. Today my rant is entitled Pendulum Politics. And I came by this rant in, for me, was a most unusual way. A few weeks ago, I was invited by Alan McIntyre, my co-host on Black on Black Commentary, to a political get-together and strategy session. It was more like a political gathering, kind of potluck. Everybody bought a dish to share. There was good food, wine, beer, and really good company, excellent conversation. And I truly enjoy myself. You know, I rarely do anything like that because I'm pretty much a loner. In fact, my wife makes fun of me because she says I don't have any friends except for the husbands of the wives that are her friends. I am pretty much a loner, and I rarely ever find myself in social situations. But this gathering of conservatives, mainly Republicans, there were Frederick Douglass Republicans who were well represented. So was the Tea Party. And it was just, Republicans and conservative in general. After the social hour, eating and drinking a little wine, and we got down to the business at hand. And I was discussing the political atmosphere in the country. Again, I say it was really good conversation. A lot of people were making comments that I thought were dead on target for the current political atmosphere in the country. Then the moderator had to get me involved in the conversation. And so the mic was passed to me, and I was asked about my feelings about Obama, which are not very good at this point. And then they asked me about the Tea Party. Why did he have to do that? My frustrations with the Tea Party and my frustrations and disappointments led me to go on kind of a tirade. I guess it could best be described about how the Tea Party was functioning. That basically they were just an offshoot of the Republican Party. They had missed a golden opportunity to make a difference, but they glummed on to the Republican Party, and now they're just a shrill offshoot of the Republican Party, but preaching basically the same rhetoric. And I tried to explain to them that you don't make change by pushing someone in a direction you want them to go. You have to lead them. And if Republicans are concerned about the spending in this country, then do something about your own sacred cows that waste tax dollars and contribute to the deficit. Don't just try to force the liberals to do something about theirs. Lead by example. So it was kind of a discordant moment in the whole meeting. But that's just me. Then it dawned on me, because I kind of flashed back to a similar gathering, but this was mostly with family, who are by and large very liberal. As it turned out, during the discussion, I was the lone conservative at that gathering, expressing my rather conservative views. And it was sort of a discordant moment in the whole conversation. And we were talking about what was going on in the Bush administration. And some of the comments and the tone of the conversation was almost exactly the same, except the political rhetoric was on the other end of the spectrum. And I thought, isn't this kind of indicative of what's going on in the country? That because of the polarization, because of the entrenchment of different political views, that we practice a kind of a pendulum politics in this country? And I think that it started with the Reagan administration. Do you recall Reagan's economic philosophy, trickle-down economics, as it was called, that you give massive tax breaks to people at the top, and eventually that wealth flows down to the little guy? Well, that was a total fraud, because when you think about it, except for inheritance, wealth flows up, trickles up. It does not trickle down. Think about this. Bill Gates, probably the wealthiest man in the world. Did he start with his wealth and it trickled down to his employees and his stockholders and everybody else? No. He started with basically nothing. And he came up with a product or a service, a company, Microsoft, and people start buying his products, and the wealth trickled up from that. But trickle-down economics, that was all the craze during the Reagan administration. And a lot of people bought into that, that if you take care of the rich guy, the wealth will trickle down. That was a total falsification of reality. And I think that's when the pendulum first swung too far to the right, or the conservative side of politics. You remember all that money that we invested in the military-industrial complex? $400 hammers, $1,000 toilet seats, and all this other mismanagement and waste that was lavished on the companies that supplied military hardware and services to the government. That was a big, big outcry from the left, from the socialists, from the people who think, for some unknown reason, that the majority of funds or tax money or revenue collected by the government should be spent on unproductive people. When Clinton got in, there was an attempt to reverse that pendulum swing and have it swing back the other way, to the left, where the country had been leaning since Johnson and the Great Society programs. Well, Clinton would have been a lot more successful had he been thinking with the big head instead of Little Willie. And so, because his presidency was damaged, he wasn't able to swing that pendulum back as far to the left end of the political pendulum as he could have if he had been an effective liberal president. And then Bush the second got in, and he swung the pendulum way, way, way off to the right with his wars, with the lax policing of our financial institutions. And so the country went even farther right in that pendulum swing. And then in a reaction, and this is the key, because when you think about it, Republicans or right-leaning people in this country are pretty well entrenched in their philosophy, in their belief system, just as the people on the left, the liberals, the socialists, the bleeding hearts, they're pretty much entrenched in their political philosophy. And a lot of them vote straight tickets. They don't think, they don't analyze, they don't pay attention during the off years between elections. They walk into that booth and they see a R or a D, and that's the way they vote. They vote straight tickets. Political elections in this country are determined by the swing voters, people like me, who pay attention to what people do between elections and vote accordingly. Now, admittedly, I vote about 70% conservative or Republican, but I have never in my life voted a straight ticket. I think that is imbecilic. Now, I've established the fact that elections are won or lost and won according to the swing voters. This is what I think is happening in American politics now. Whenever a party persuades the swing voters to put them in office, invariably, they consider this a mandate and they go off on a political tangent. Invariably, they go too far, just like Bush in Iraq, just like Bush slinging money at the people who caused the subprime mortgage meltdown. And so the swing voters look at what this party is doing and they get concerned, maybe even fearful, of how this particular party is leading the country. And so they move over and they swing the next election to the other party. And then you get an Obama administration. And what do? The country's in an economic crisis. We need effective leadership to bring the economy back. But what's his main concern? His main concern is the liberal agenda. Oh yeah, he came up with a little stimulus package, but that was basically just pork barrel projects that the Democrats wanted, couldn't get through Congress any other way. And so now the pendulum has swung back from the right and it's swinging too far left. This massive takeover of the healthcare industry is gone too far. And now the swing voters like myself are looking at this president and his administration and where it's carrying the country. And again, we're getting concerned. And so I'm sure that in the next 2.5 years that Obama has left in his administration, he'll come up with other programs or other policies that will frighten the swing voters even more. And when the next election comes up, you'll see this midterm election, I think you're going to see the result of that. And I believe we're going to have a majority in both houses of Congress that are conservative and are Republican. And he won't be able to do anything else with his socialistic agenda. But the pendulum has already swung way too far to the left. And then we'll have the election for the next president. And guess what? The swing voters will be looking at what the socialists, the liberals, the bleeding heart liberals did to the direction this country is going, and they will swing back the other way, trying somehow to correct the excesses of the current administration. And guess what? You're going to have, after 26, starting in 2017, you're going to have a Republican president, more than likely, and both houses of Congress is going to be Republican, controlled by the Republicans. And that next president is going to be appointing one or more Supreme Court justices. And guess what's going to happen at that point? If you said the pendulum is going to swing the other way, give yourself a gold star and move to the head of the class. You guessed it. The first thing on the Republican or the conservative agenda in the next presidency is going to be to reverse Obamacare, or as much of it as they possibly can, and to reverse a lot of his other liberal policies. They're going to have to clean the bureaucracy of all the liberal appointees. And then we'll have a situation where the pendulum, after swinging far left with the Obama administration, will commence to swing far right, because the Republicans or the conservatives at that point will believe Republican victories in the 2016 election give them a mandate, and the cycle will start all over again. And then the voters are going to be caught in another round of whiplash, where the country is swinging far to the left with the policies, and now we have a conservative administration, and now they're going to swing far back to the right. And you can bet your sweet bippy that they're going to start abusing the power of the incumbency. They're going to start doing things, passing laws, making new regulations to benefit the people who contributed to their campaign coffers. This is the way our system works now. We even have lobbying groups writing legislation for the congressmen. It's gotten to the point where the congressmen and their staffs, they don't write the bills anymore. The lobbyists do it for them, and then bribe them into bringing it forward into law, and who also continue to sling money at them through their lobbying efforts. Not only that, 50% of congressmen and a good percentage of senators go on to work for those same lobbying firms once their careers in Congress are ended. The end result will be they will govern to the extremes. They're going to start throwing money at the people at the top, the rich folks, the 1-2 percenters again, which will cause the pendulum to swing far, too far to the right again. 2020 or 2024, you'll have the same thing happening, because for sure they'll go too far and the pendulum will start swinging back the other way. Now, some of you might think, well, this is not a bad thing because things sort of balance out. But you're wrong if you're thinking that. And this is why. Every time the pendulum swings too far one way, there is a danger of the country, the government, the thing we call America, of tipping over the edge and going the way of a corporate state, are going the way of a socialist state. That is the danger of pendulum politics. And that is why I'm so concerned. And that is why I'm recording this podcast, to get the word out there, to let people know This thing we call America, this democracy, is in danger. The system is precariously balanced right now, and it won't take much to tip it one way or another. Because one day, for sure, if we continue along this road we're traveling, of these wild swings, these pendulum politics, eventually, the pendulum is going to swing too far one way, and it won't come back. One political philosophy is going to gain enough power to move the country to a position that is in line with their extreme policies or extreme philosophy. And I'm sure that if you are a thinking person, you're not going to like either extreme. But that is the danger that we're facing with this pendulum politics. And it seems that the people in control of either political party somehow don't see it. All they see is their self-professed righteousness. Maybe they think it's God-given. I don't know. But for a fact, you have both sides with this conviction that they know what's best for the country, and they're going to move the country in that direction, no matter what. Some of you might be thinking now that I don't have faith in the American people, that I'm somehow missing the boat, and I'm not a true patriot, and whatever people think when the messenger brings bad news. But consider this. In about 20 or 30 years, because white people are not reproducing themselves to maintain their population, or the advantage in population, and include the fact that the gap between whites that have and whites that have not is getting wider and wider. In 20 or 30 years, the minorities and the poor whites are going to vastly outnumber the middle class and the 2%ers. And trust me, when it gets to the point where that happens and white people lose the balance of power at the ballot box, it is not going to be pretty. Because for a fact, now you can dress it up in all kind of patriotic language, land of the free and home of the brave, justice for all, kumbaya. But for a fact, Caucasians came out of Europe and ran roughshod over native populations around the globe, including America. And there are a lot of people, Native Americans, Africans, the descendants of slaves, Mexicans, who are descended from people who were pushed out of southwestern United States. There are a lot of grudges out there. And if it comes a time, and it will happen numerically, when non-whites have the power of the ballot box, you can believe that there is going to be a furious drift to the left. The pendulum is going to swing far, far to the left. Now, what that portends for the country or the stability of the country, I'll leave that to your imagination. On the other end of the spectrum, when the Constitution was written, if the Founding Fathers had been intellectually honest, they would have written, "White men are created equal in the eyes of God." Because for a fact, Indians were left out. Certainly slaves were left out. Even white women were left out. Couldn't vote until 1920. Now fast forward to modern times. The people at the top, the ones that have power, wealth, and influence, especially political influence, the ones that write the laws, pass the laws, and enforce the laws, they are well aware of what's happening demographically. And so for a number of decades, they have been positioning themselves and reformulating the government in order to dilute or even get rid of one man, one vote in this country. You doubt what I'm saying? Let's look at a few examples. I was just listening to the Radio Today talk show, or the news, I should say, and there was a news segment on about a teenager from a very rich family down in Texas. Now, this person has had problems with alcohol, been arrested for underage drinking. He jumps into an automobile, causes an accident. He's under the influence, by the way. Kills four people, injures two. Seriously, one would be paralyzed for the rest of his life. His rich family hires some very slick lawyers. They go to court. And their defense is, this young child, as they refer to him, but he's 16 years old, he was suffering from affluenza. They say his parents, wealthy, very affluent parents, lavished so much on him, but were morally bankrupt. In other words, they raised a spoiled brat. And since he was suffering from affluenza, he was not responsible or should not be held criminally responsible for what he did, for the deaths of four people. And the judge bought it. Why? Because the kid probably looks like one of her sons or nephews or next door neighbor kid. And so this, after killing four people, injuring two, shattering their lives, he gets a year in a treatment facility for the cream of society. You know, all kinds of privileges. It's more like a resort than it is a facility for treating someone who committed a crime. And he'll get 10 years probation. And he'll probably inherit his family's millions eventually. That is the kind of thing that's happening in our legal system. Blind justice, it's a farce. And it's hypocritical to even call it that. Think about this. The Supreme Court, in the last 4 or 5 years, they've rendered decisions that said the police have no obligation to protect citizens. Even though we pay their salaries, benefits, fund their retirements, they basically have no obligation to protect us. They also ruled that municipalities can take private property by eminent domain and give it to a wealthy developer or a corporation just because that entity can develop the property and provide more tax dollars to the municipality. Think about that. Your home is no longer your castle. After another recent Supreme Court ruling, there is no limit to the amount of money that corporations and PACs and other private organizations can throw into an election. In other words, they opened the door for the people with money to flood the airways with political messages, political speech, and influence people, especially the mindless dupes that vote straight tickets, to support their agenda. They ruled in favor of Obamacare, the government forcing you to buy insurance. You can bet that not too far down the road, corporations, companies, they won't be giving their employees health insurance. Oh no, they're going to push them all onto Obamacare because it's cheaper. That's how much they think of their employees. And the Supreme Court paved the way for the corporations. Can you see, at all levels, we see the people of influence, the people with money, the people with power, positioning themselves where they would be exempt from the chaos that's coming. And if they can move us to a corporate state where we don't have one man, one vote, then they would have achieved it. They would have created a new aristocracy. And that is their goal, to swing us so far to the right that they are the ones that make the rules. And they can exempt themselves from anything that they wish. Not only that, look at what Congress is doing. They're giving the corporate moguls tax breaks for taking jobs overseas. They get bailed out when they make bad decisions and crash our economic system, sending the whole economy into a serious recession. Do you know lobbyists for the corporations are still preventing Congress from passing laws that would restrict banks from making risky investments with money, with depositors' money that is insured by the government? Think about that. The banks are hiring lobbyists, spending money, throwing money at Congress to prevent them from passing a law that would prevent the banks from gambling with money that is insured by FDIC. And that's how the system works. So, my friends, it's a toss-up as to which way this country is going to go eventually. If it's a matter of time, then socialists are going to win. The trends and demographics are on their side. If it's a matter of wealth and influence coming out on top, then the conservatives will win out and America will no longer be one man, one vote. Corporate states of America or the socialist states of America? Who knows? Only time will tell in which direction the pendulum will swing too far to come back. Until next time, I'm your host, Elbert Lewis, from the Edge.